Serious news, seriously entertaining. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Oh, the monsoon is back. And we are here for you all afternoon. We have the best radio news team in the country. We've got Becky Lynn. We've got Detour Dan. We're going to help you get home safe and sound. So we'll get the update on the weather here in a couple more minutes, but certainly the monsoon is back. I think everybody knew that when they woke up and it was 82 degrees or something today. The President of the United States declaring today officially, he spoke at around, what was it, Lloyd, 1 o'clock today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lloyd's in for Chad. That the war in Afghanistan is over. We know the last plane left yesterday, and I've heard from a lot of you who served in Afghanistan, and I think we should hear from you. And we've opened up the phones at 277-5827. If you served in Afghanistan, what you say matters. What I say or what Lloyd says, and we can talk about how we got into the war or what we did there in the middle or how we got out. And I know that we should talk about that, but it doesn't matter.
We weren't
what
there.
We say. It matters what you say.
Yeah, we didn't serve.
No, you're the heroes. You're the ones that went over there. You're the ones that fought. You're the ones that built things up over there. So if you served in Afghanistan, you know, we have this big platform called a radio station, right? Well, let's hear from you at 277-5827. We'll do it for a couple minutes on the show. All right, let's start with Greg. Greg served 21 years. Hey, Greg, thank you for your service. How are you today?
Great. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, good. So what did you do in Afghanistan?
I worked for what was then called Camp Resolute Support. Basically, it was after the ISAF mission ended. We were doing training teams to the local government there in Kabul. And I spent a lot of time working with the communications, basically like our FCC. And they became, during my time there, the first the only self-sustaining government entity that was actually generating money for the government. So it was kind of a proud thing for us to actually say, hey, you guys are on your own. Go for it. Mm-hmm.
So after 20 years, what were your thoughts? What went through your mind and how did you feel?
Honestly, it's kind of a mixed emotion. It's like, at some point, maybe my thoughts thought, you know, maybe it was going to fail, but I wanted, and I think a lot of the Afghanis wanted, and everyone else I served with, wanted Afghanistan to succeed. And the people that I had encountered with over the years, or the year that I was there, all they wanted to do really is go to work, be able to go home in peace, not get shot or blown up, and live their lives and raise their kids in peace.
Yeah.
Peace and stability, and it's kind of hard. I don't know how to really put it in words how I feel about it. Am I upset? Yeah, I spent away a year from my wife, my family, from home. You know, living day to day. Some days you didn't. I mean, we were relatively safe there in Kabul, but I mean, other places you never knew.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, thanks, man, for joining us. Appreciate it. Because you know what. For 20 years, there were little girls who grew up into women and had a chance. And some of them have even left the country and have a better chance. Some became mayors. We'll see, and we're going to have to wait and see what happens. But for 20 years, there was hope.
And that's a great thing. That's why, you know, the men and women of our armed forces should always be proud of the work they did because, you know, they busted their rear ends to give all those people a chance and to make things better.
277-5827. We're asking you to call if you served in Afghanistan. Here is Melissa. Melissa hit me up on Facebook today and said, hey, Gatos, you and Chad have this, this big radio show. Let some of us talk. And I couldn't agree more, Melissa. You served 9 years. Thank you for your service. Yeah. And thank you for saying that on Facebook. What do you think after 20 years? What are your emotions?
Well, first off, thank you for, you know, you guys are always really huge on veterans and I appreciate it. But as I've watched, like I became obsessed with watching it. Even my husband was like, stop watching it. But as a female, it was really hard because I remember being at a bazaar in this remote area when I was attached with the ODA. And this woman thanked me for showing strength, for showing that there was something else out there for women.
Wow.
And so just to see it crumble and to know it's going to go backwards. And like you just said, some of these girls are women now, and they didn't live underneath Taliban before. It's a whole new experience for them. And it's just rough. And to see those children, when they knew you were a female, it was like they gravitated towards you and they just they wanted to talk to you. They would try to hold my hand, like things like that. It's just, it's hard. But it's really hard because I know a lot of people blame Biden, but he's not the first politician to not listen to intelligence, to not listen to military advisors. Like, there would have been a better time to pull out than immediately and right away. And I talked to one of the interpreters that was in Afghanistan with us, and he said, you know, a lot of people are blaming the Afghan army. He goes, but essentially the U.S. pulled out, and they thought the U.S. was pulling out because there was no hope. He's like, so what did you think was going to happen? And I'm like, you're right. You're right.
But you don't think you don't feel like your time was wasted there, because some people have texted an email and said, I was there for 3 years, or yes, I was deployed there for whatever, and I feel like my time was wasted. You don't feel that?
I totally do. Like,
you
I really do.
Do.
Like, I think that's the hard part for me. Like,
gosh.
I felt like I was accomplishing something as a female, and I was a single mom when I went over there, and I lost, you know, 10 and a half months with my daughter at the peak of potty training and all this that. And, you know, I sit here and I'm like, what was the point? Like, you just handed it back over anyways. What was the point of our sacrifices and the Afghanis that are still there and helped us? And what about them? Like, they should matter.
Yeah, but here's one thing I want to leave you with, because you're saying what a lot of people are telling me who served there, too. You do know that we love you. You do know that we, you know, the sacrifice you made, Americans want to thank you. You're our heroes. You know that, right? Do you feel that?
You know.
Because you should.
I don't. It's so weird. Like, as a female, I've never really been thanked. My husband's prior service to you, and he's been thanked, like, all the time. And he always says this whole, well, my wife's seen combat. You know, she's the really one you should thank. And I'm like, it happens. But I feel like sometimes that there's not that many who respect the military in that sense. Like, I feel like sometimes people, especially politicians, view us as disposable. Like, we're just disposable.
Melissa, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you guys so much. Like, really, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for your service. All right, 277-5827. That's a tough call. You know, Melissa being there in Afghanistan, the women in Afghanistan thanking her for helping, and she just feels like everything's been thrown away after 20 years.
Like it didn't matter.
Yeah. All right. More phone calls from you. If you served in Afghanistan, we've opened up the phones at 277-5827.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Parker & Sons Plumbing and Electrical, the two-time winner of the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award.
All right. We're taking phone calls from those who served in Afghanistan. I think it's important that we hear from them. What they say really, really matters. Richard is next on KTAR. Hey, Richard, how long did you serve in Afghanistan?
A year.
Okay. So what is your takeaway? After 20 years, this is how it ends. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling relieved, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, a lot of my fellow soldiers and everybody that has served over this 20 years has done a job to the best of their ability, you know, and you know, we never knew. I served in 06, 07, and I served in the Afghanistan Army. I was an embedded trainer. Great people, you know, you always hope for the best of that day, and every day they wanted to know how you were doing, how your family was doing, how, you know, just a great people. But we were still there, and we were in wartime, and we had to do what we had to do every day.
Right.
But, you know, I think, you know, in my own opinion, you know, I think the president and the Joint Chiefs, I think they did a pretty good job on closing this chapter. And, you know, I guess I don't have to worry about the next guy next to me being deployed back to that area to a place where, you know, they never really wanted us.
Yeah.
So
makes you feel a bit relieved.
It's a relief that you know, I feel for the 13 that have fallen, you know, most recently. But as far as Afghanistan goes, we're not going to lose anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a big deal to me.
Yeah. Thanks for your service, Richard.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Joe is next on KTAR. Hey, Joe, how many years do you serve in Afghanistan?
I was only in Afghanistan for a year, but I served 12 years in the Marine Corps.
Well, you're the man. Thank you for your service. Tell me what you think of how everything ended in Afghanistan. How are you feeling?
You know, I don't know. My emotions have been all over the place for, you know, going on the better part of 2 weeks now. And I couldn't disagree more with your previous caller. Do I feel relief that we're out of there? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the closing of this book and this chapter couldn't have been any worse. The administration or leadership in place at all levels has been absolute garbage.
It's been tough to watch. It's been tough to watch. The president said that. The president said today something like, you know, I'm trying to remember because there's so much that he said. He basically said this is the way the mission was designed.
Hmm. I certainly don't think that the way this mission ended was the way it was designed.
No. Is that how you feel, Joe?
No, not at all. The way this was designed at all. And am I at the level of the intelligence briefings that the president gets? Of course not.
Right.
But from being on the ground in Afghanistan during a very heavy fighting period back in 2010 and 11 during a troop surge, you know, I got some insight as to what our mission was, and we accomplished our mission. So am I relieved that we're out of there? Yes. Personally, do I feel like, you know, I failed as a Marine or as a service member? No. Mm-hmm. You know, as a Marine, we look out for each other, out to the left and to the right of each other.
Right.
That's what I did there, and I accomplished that mission. But I think the last 20 years from as a whole has been an absolute waste of time.
Oh, gosh. Joe, thanks for your service. You're the man.
Thank you.
All right. Here is Juan on KTAR. Juan, you served in Afghanistan?
Yes, I did. I served in Afghanistan, actually, for 2 years in diplomatic status. I'm a retired corpsman with the Marine Corps, and I've served in Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Well, thank you for everything you've done for your country. When you see us leave Afghanistan after 20 years, you've been watching it. You've been, you know, just like everybody else, but, you know, you were there. How are you feeling?
Well, I got to preface, like I said, I served in diplomatic status, which meant I worked for the embassy, and I actually protected the ambassadors, the deputy ambassador there for 2 years. And I've got a different aspect in it because I was in the room a lot of times in the room where a lot of decisions happened and where certain deals were made. And I was also privy to the opening of the girls' school that got bombed earlier this year.
Oh, gosh.
So we opened it up, and our ambassador at the time, she was a female ambassador. She was a fantastic woman. And we go in there and just watching these kids being so happy that they got they got a chance to go to school. And the original crushing blow to me was listening to the news saying that this girls' school got bombed out. You know, and that to me was actually the beginning of the end. And now, in the last 14 days, watching Taliban take over and how they just did it so easily all over an entire country in a week, what we couldn't do in 20 years. And it's because we let them. And the fact is, you know, you asked the previous caller, is like, was, you know, pretty much how the president said it was designed this way. The fact is, we've screwed this up since 1979 with the Carter administration. And as Charlie Wilson said, we effed up the end game. And fact is, there was never any exit plan. There was no way to leave there.
No and good way to leave.
There's no good way to leave. Right. There was absolutely no good way to leave. I got to tell you, I listen to the outrage from you guys on the radio and all this kind of stuff, and sometimes I just get torqued at you because you speak out of passion, which I think is great, but at the same time, you speak out of ignorance because you don't really understand what's there, and that's the frustrating part of it.
I hear you, man. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to have some of you on who served there. Because,
you know, and this one of this, but I'm glad, and I echo with the other guys. Yeah, it's time for us to go. I'm glad it's over, but unfortunately, we've left the country high and dry again. And for anyone who thinks, if you remember, 9/11 happened 20 years after the Taliban took over, and they didn't have nearly the technology of armament that they have now.
Yeah.
And yeah. My biggest fear is that there they were, and they didn't have, you know, a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of, and then now they've got all the toys. How fast do you think it's going to take for something to happen?
Juan, thanks for your service and your insight. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care, guys.
Thanks, man. All right. A lot of soldiers calling in who served in Afghanistan. Tough. It's tough to hear.
A lot of mixed emotion.
Yes, no question about it.
Big thing for me, though, a lot of perspective. And, you know, all of them had different ideas and brought a different point of view on what things looked like. And we need to hear that. And the biggest thing that I took away from that is, you know, Juan there at the end talked about, you know, a school for girls and just how happy and joyous those kids were to have a chance. And it should make everybody back here, you know, realize, like, you know, we argue over, you know, our kids going to school and masks and things like that.
They just want to go to school.
Think about how lucky and graced they were to be able to go to a school at all.
That's a good point, Lloyd. Thanks, everybody, for your phone calls, and thanks for your service. KTA will be right back.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
Hey, if you missed the last half an hour, we took calls from some of you great heroes out there who served in Afghanistan. I want to thank you for your service and thank you for joining us on the show and telling us how you feel after 20 years of war. We got out yesterday. It doesn't seem that everybody got out. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Interesting. There's a new study out that says about half of vaccinated people are not really keen on flying anymore. So now that the Delta variant is here, about 50% of fully vaccinated travelers feel less comfortable now than they did before the Delta outbreak. You're getting on a plane soon, Becky Lynn. You worry? You're vaccinated. Are you worried about flying?
I'm a little bit concerned, just to travel in general. Yeah.
Is it the airport or the plane?
It's, well, the plane is always a little bit of a worry. I mean, let's face it. You know, we've all heard, you know,
They're filthy.
Yeah, and the air is recirculated. So, you know, the mask really doesn't bother
filters
me.
Filters are supposed to be the
best. They're supposed to have changed them now. So we'll go with that and hope that's true. I don't know. I wasn't worried when I first planned this trip. I'm actually hopping on a plane tomorrow night.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, tomorrow night. And I wasn't really concerned then. But since the Delta variant has kicked back into gear and even though I'm vaccinated, we're hearing some stories, I'm a little bit concerned. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. But, you know, did you ever consider canceling your flight?
Yes.
Because, you know, my wife and I, for the rest of the year, we've got a couple flights that we're going on.
I know that.
One is to we're going to have a celebration of life for my mother, who died of COVID last year. And gosh, in March or beginning of April, and now we're just finally getting around to it. I was talking to my dad the other day. And, you know, we were like, you know, is everybody coming that's vaccinated? Are we going to wear masks at the celebration? We didn't think we were going to have to do that a couple months ago. So you did think of canceling.
I did. We discussed, should we just put this on hold? Maybe we shouldn't go, you know. But we had, I don't know, just some heart-to-heart discussions about it and just decided, no, we're going to go ahead and go through with it. We're going to do it.
Because we have a couple trips planned, and I'm more scared of canceling because my wife wants to go on these trips, right? And I don't blame her. Than the COVID out there. My wife scares me a little bit more.
I know. You know, so that's it. We want to go, too. We've had this planned. We're really looking forward to it.
Well, go have fun. And you got to go live.
Yeah,
I know. Go have fun. Just, hey, mask up.
And I'm going to mask, though. I am going to mask.
What can you do? You're vaccinated. You're going to mask up. You're going to go and have fun. And, you know, worst case scenario, if you do pick it up, hopefully the vaccine will knock half of it out.
That's all we can hope for. Yes, absolutely.
That's the world we live in.
That's what we're doing.
All right. It's the Gatos and Chad show. Coming up next, forget showing your vaccine card at a restaurant. One eatery is asking you to prove who you voted for. That's what they're wondering. I'll tell that story next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad show.
Gatos and Chad Show podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. Make sure to check it out. You'll never miss any of the show. Subscribe right now. iPhone, Android, Gatos and Chad Show podcast.
Lloyd's in for the vacationing, Chad Benson. We'll get back to some of the weather, a little bit more of Afghanistan next hour. But there's a place to go eat. It's a diner in Orlando. And you know how some of these restaurants and they're like, okay, well, you can come in, but I want to see your vaccination card. This place doesn't care about your vaccination card. They care about who you voted for. They care about who you voted for. And if you voted for one of the two, they might not let you in.
This is the sign making people do a double take as they pass the DeBerry Diner.
And by the way, you know there are signs outside of restaurants or, you know, masks requested or something like that? This isn't a sign. This is like a full paragraph on a door.
It says, quote, if you voted for and continue to support and stand behind the worthless, inept, and corrupt administration currently inhabiting the White House that is complicit in the death of our servicemen and women in Afghanistan, please take your business elsewhere.
Okay. So if you're a Biden supporter, don't come in. And we as an eatery are going to use the death of 13 service members to really make a point here. That is just sickening. It's just sickening. I mean, I don't care if you like Biden or not. It doesn't matter to me. But that's the stance that you take?
It's pretty weaselly, too, because they're not even asking people. They just put it at the door.
So did you do this? Did you do this when how many people died under President Trump? How many did it? You looked it up.
63. Okay. It was around the 60s.
That was 4 years. Yeah. 4 years, 63 Americans died. Like, you know, a few months, 13 Americans died under Biden. So I'm just wondering if this place put up the same sign. Hey, you know, we don't like presidents who apparently caused the death of Americans. So don't come in.
But what about the fact that 2,000 plus have died?
Right.
So many under Obama, many under Bush.
So if you're, let's say in this particular restaurant, you're a Biden supporter and you lost both your legs in the war in Afghanistan, you're not allowed in?
You probably wouldn't want to go in.
Well, I'm just saying, if you were in the military.
They're saying take your business elsewhere.
But you're a soldier. You lost both your legs in the war. You're not allowed here. That's basically what they're saying. It doesn't matter who supports Joe Biden. If you support Joe Biden, you're not allowed into our restaurant. And that includes you who maybe it served in Afghanistan. See, this diner, they don't. This,
it's not real well thought
let's
out.
Let's listen to the lady. She doesn't have much of a brain.
It was the only thing I felt like I can do.
Yes, let's politicize 13 dead Americans.
Restaurant owner Angie Ugarte says she posted the message the same day 13 service members were killed in Afghanistan.
I was just angry. I was just let down. I felt like one of those mothers or wives or...
Or, I don't know, there was a Republican president, George Bush, who I particularly like a lot. He sent the troops to Afghanistan. So I guess if you like George Bush, you can come in? That doesn't make any sense.
It's a horrible comparison, too, to say that you felt like one of those mothers or wives.
Ooh.
You have no idea what that feels like.
Let me play that again, Lloyd.
I was just angry. I was just let down. I felt like one of those mothers or wives or sisters who were going to get that knock on the door.
Yeah. So this lady who owns a diner, she felt exactly like the mother that I saw on Sunday get down on both knees and put her head on her son's casket with the American flag draped over it. Really? You felt the same way, lady. Really?
It's shameful.
That's awful. I don't know how that feels. You don't know how that feels unless you lost someone in war.
There's a reason we call them Gold Star families.
Right, and there's a reason this lady's flipping burgers.
Ugardi, who's been running the DeBerry Diner for about 5 years, says a lot of her regular customers are vets.
Oh, but if there is a vet that supports Biden, you're going to kick him out, right? That's what the sign at the door says.
This is the sign making people do a double take as they pass the DeBerry Diner. It says, quote, if you voted for and continue to support and stand behind the worthless, inept, and corrupt administration currently inhabiting the White House that is complicit in the death of our servicemen and women in Afghanistan, please take your business elsewhere.
Okay. I will be taking my business elsewhere just because I don't like you. And because you're going to kick service members out who may have voted for Joe Biden. You're disgusting. Some people are just disgusting. And this lady's disgusting. All right. 5 o'clock KTAR News Expansion. It is coming up. Stick around.